This podcast is being brought to you by Stellar Blu Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music. Please check us out at stellarbluetechnologies.com. The Mile of Music offers 1 mile of free musical performances with over 200 artists, over 900 shows throughout the 4 days of the event. This is a must-attend annual event in the Fox Cities, and it's growing every year. Over 80,000 people attended in 2018, and it's getting bigger all the time. Really want to thank Adrian plus Meredith for coming in and talking to us. So thanks for being here. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. We communicated before this, and you shared about Corey Chisel and how you found out about the A Mile of Music. I thought that was a great story.
Yeah.
That people like to hear.
Well, there's a particular watering hole in Nashville, Tennessee, where a lot of the musicians live, and a lot of Nashville musicians play Mile of Music for this similar story, probably. There's a local watering hole in Nashville. We call it kind of the Tortuga for Pirates, really. It's where all the touring musicians, you can find them if they're in Nashville and not on the road, they're in this bar. So you can almost walk in and figure out who's on tour and who's not on tour just by who's in the bar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Place I got to check out next time.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know where it is. It's a secret. But,
oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Yeah. But Corey was there, and so were we, and we were just doing what musicians do, is drink beer and chat and talk about the road. And I didn't know him, and he didn't know me all that well at the time. And we just started getting to talking, and where are you from? And we said, Central Wisconsin. And where are you from? Central Wisconsin. Well, no kidding. I'm from Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and he's from Appleton. And he started talking about this festival that he just started. It was after Mile of Music 1, and we played Mile of Music 2.
Very good.
Yeah.
Cool story.
Yeah.
Okay.
All good things happen on a bar stool in Nashville, yeah, apparently. Sure. Yeah.
Over a couple of beers, sharing yes. stories. Yeah, that's cool.
And maybe some whiskey, you know.
Of course. Boilermakers, right? So, you know, what
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. You know anything about that. I was talking to Meredith just a few minutes ago, and she was sharing with me your story. Yeah. And I'd like you guys to share that with the fans, too, a little bit. How
yeah.
you guys met, the evolution of the relationship, and when you started playing music together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think most people assume, especially now, we've been the band Adrian plus Meredith for about 4 or 5 years now, so it feels natural, and I think a lot of people, you know, even we forget what it was like before then. But Adrian and I met in 2012, and we really initially just started as a dating relationship. I was playing fiddle with a band, and Adrian was touring. He had a solo career at the time touring. I had a full-time job. You know, I was a contributing member to society and paid taxes and did the whole thing, you know. But we dated for about 2 years, and we had seen things go so many ways with bands where they try to do a band and a relationship, and it kind of moves too fast and too quick, and then one part of it will kind of fall apart, and you're left to pick up the pieces. So we decided we were just going to date, and over time it just sort of became like this thing that was staring us in the face of doing this band together. So in 2015, I quit my job. We went on our first tour together out to the West Coast. We drove all the way from Ohio to California, all the way up through the Redwood Forest and back. And it was a pretty awesome first tour. After that, I was hooked. So.
And then we talked about this at First Songs yesterday, Mile of Music's First Songs, but 3 months after California, that trip she's talking about, 3 months later was Mile of Music 2, and that was our first time playing in Wisconsin.
Well, very good.
And our first festival as playing as a band was our first time here at Mile of Music. So Mile of Music's been with our band since the very beginning, and you can almost kind of trace the steps of our career with Mile of Music's.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. That's a great story. I love it. Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, when you started blending your music and you decided to start performing together, sometimes there's musical differences, sometimes there's similarities.
Yeah, there was.
Share with us how you guys blended your sounds together and your own interests to come up with, you know, Adrian plus Meredith.
Well, I think for me, and maybe Meredith has a different answer, but I think for me it was realizing that a lot of the type of music that I was playing at the time was actually very similar to the type of music that Meredith was playing at the time. I just didn't realize it until we started playing together. And to give you more detail on that, I was playing in rock and roll bands. but there are particular types of roots rock and roll music that has a very strong influence in traditional arts.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't necessarily see that on the first 10 times of seeing that band. You actually kind of have to dig deeper into the band and realize that actually all these rock and rollers are actually, in fact, traditional music nerds and band camp nerds, right? And they don't want to tell you about it, that they were a band camp nerd, but they really got their start listening to traditional music and some of the clogging stuff we do and some of the old time and folk music that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized upon having Meredith in my musical world that there were so many other bands that I worked with already that have a very similar type of vibe of traditional music. I just didn't kind of see it. It kind of showed up, and then I realized I've been listening to it all along.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, my whole background, Adrian was all in all these rock and roll and punk bands, and my whole background was traditional fiddle music, classically trained, but then getting really into, like, old-time fiddle music in the Michigan scene, doing, like, traditional Appalachian clogging, that kind of stuff. So it is true, when we started working together, it wasn't natural right away, to be honest. It was something we really worked on, building our confidence in our sound. It's a process, and it continues to be a process.
So, you know, at what moment did you have the epiphany? When in your life did you realize, I really want to do this? This is really what I want to do.
Yeah. I was in second grade. I was sitting in a classroom, and one of my classmates brought his violin in for show and tell. And he, you know, in the public schools, you really wouldn't pick an instrument until fifth grade. But it was second grade, and John Hammonds, who's now a very accomplished bass player, I still keep in contact with him, he came in, did show and tell with the violin. I went home from school that day and said, Mom, I want to play the violin. And I bugged her for about a year before they realized, okay, she's not going to let this go. Like, we better find this girl a violin. So they got me into lessons, got me my first instrument. And, you know, I've had my own personal journey with music, the highs and the lows, but there's never been a time in my life that I've put it away. So I've kept plugging. Yeah.
It's, I think you'll probably get this answer from a lot of different musicians. It's a fantastic question. I think that there's different times and there's more than one singular moment that artists really see, hey, I'm on the right path. Like, this is my calling. And there's a couple different moments that I had as well. Kind of working backwards is I was living in Minneapolis, actually, at the time, and it was after I'm originally from Stevens Point, and I went to University of Wisconsin branch system, and I lived in Minneapolis a little while. And I was playing out a little bit, but there was a guy that I was looking up to, and he kind of gave me that encouragement that said, you know, Adrian, you're great. You should be playing out. You should be playing more shows. You should have a show every night of the week if you want to. And I needed someone to come and tell me, hey, you're good.
Validation
from peers. And it really does actually impact everybody. And I think that's what Milo Music does such a great job at, actually, is that this is a community. And a lot of musicians are going to leave on Sunday feeling like, this is a second home. I have validity here. And Milo Music is another option for us. Like I said, our maybe 10th show ever, our first time playing a festival, was Mile 2. And so how do you walk away from that Sunday being like, this is totally what we're supposed to be doing? We're only 10 shows in as a band. We are just getting started, and Mile of Music just blew our minds. It's very inspiring. But then there's also previous times in my life where I was realizing that I'm never going to stop playing music. I started playing piano when I was young, and I realized that I did not like the sound and the performance of what I was doing on piano. It didn't reflect what I was creating,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't get the create timbre to what I was creating, but I liked music enough to realize there's a difference. So I stopped playing piano, and I picked up guitar in college, and I realized that just because it's not piano doesn't mean it's not music.
Mm-hmm.
I can move on to guitar in college. And then there's a whole other moment of, really, and one of the biggest moments is when you start writing your own songs. That's a huge moment for every artist here at Milo Music and all the artists that we know, is when you stop playing primarily Johnny Cash songs and you start bringing your own songs into it, there's no possible way that you can't put yourself into that song and be your own inspiration, basically.
Knowing the piano must have helped you a lot with a guitar. I mean,
oh, yeah,
it really
absolutely.
Got you to understand
yeah.
music and written music and notes and all the rest of that stuff.
So. It totally does. It totally does. It, in my mind, from a very technical perspective, and this may only cater to half of the audience or less than, but it made a lot of sense. My grandmother played church organ, and so not only was it not only did I understand piano on a single keyboard, but I also understood organ of multiple keyboards, and watching her play one hand with one keyboard and another hand with another keyboard. And then I realized that that's exactly what the guitar is. The guitar is mm-hmm. every string is its own keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guitar made sense to me. So I applied piano to guitar almost instantly.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Share with us a memorable story of meeting one of your most inspirational heroes.
Great question. We just finished this tour with him. So.
Yeah, I'll take this one. You know, we were just talking about kind of how we have merged our sound and how that goes. And in a big way, a huge part of that process is finding people that inspire you, musicians, artists that inspire you to be like, I think, like, did you hear what that sounded like? I think we could do something like that. It makes sense. And one of those people who's kind of been our mentor and our inspiration is a man named J.D. Wilkes. And he has been in a band called the Legendary Shack Shakers for years, like 25 years. And he's also an incredible, he's one of those guys that's like one of the best rock and rollers out there. But then when you get him and you just hang out with him, all the guy wants to do is play his banjo, you know? It's like,
oh, wow.
So he's kind of one of those people that has both worlds.
He's actually the very specific artist, when we went back to question one, he's the very specific artist that I realized that he actually is a traditional music nerd that now plays rock and roll music. And I totally looked up to him as a rock and roller, only to realize that he's actually a traditional music nerd like Meredith.
We're all nerds. Yeah. But we've known JD for a long time. We've worked with him before. He performed on our last record. And it's been really an incredible process of having him kind of be our musical and performance hero and realizing that he digs what we do too. And there's something for us to all learn from each other. So we just got back from a 2-month tour in Europe, and we started that tour on some opening shows, opening up for the Legendary Shack Shakers in the UK. And it was a huge moment for us of actually getting to share the stage. Not only did we open up for him, but then I got to sit in with him. I played fiddle, and I did some traditional clogging with his set. And it was pretty surreal. It was a great moment.
How cool is that to actually not only meet your hero, but to open for him? That's got
to
be
a
monumental
with,
experience.
Absolutely. Just to open for him. And then for me, the even bigger moment is the moment where they ask you to collaborate with them.
Oh, that's cool.
Where they think, where they feel like you're an artist who has something to offer this to. I mean, that moment in itself is like goosebumps.
And that takes us back to validation like we were talking earlier.
Absolutely.
That is huge. Huge, absolutely.
Yeah, it was not expected either. So it was a huge moment. Yeah.
Very cool.
It was not expected, but I made sure I was ready.
Absolutely.
You like to write songs based on experiences, both personal and with people that that you meet. Share with us a backstory of one of your songs that means the most to you and why.
Means the most to us right now. Do you have a song that you feel the most connected to, kids?
Kind of like a general thing. I think right now it keeps shifting. Our songs do end up getting definitely influenced by political climates. Mm-hmm. I will say that kind of the perspective we have on songs too has started to change as we've toured as we have started touring internationally. Kind of creates a different perspective and different conversations that we're having on the road. I guess Kids These Days is one that has kind of really taken shape for us. It's a new song that we wrote. We initially wrote it about gun control. That was our initial inspiration for it, especially looking at the kids in Florida that kind of staged the walkout and asking for their own safety. It inspired us, and as we've toured with that song, I think the message has changed even deeper in a way that as Americans, I think we feel like even though there are generations that are older, there's so much to learn from kids, that they are the future, and that I think we all get bogged down with getting in petty fights with each other and not communicating and just othering each other. And when you look at kids, I think there's so much inspiration. So that has been a really powerful message for us that we've really carried with us as we've talked about, you know, especially getting questioned about American politics in Europe. I believe in the next generation so much. I believe in all the generations, but watching kids change the world, it never gets old.
Mm.
So.
please share the craziest day you ever experienced.
Oh, I got this. This is super easy. No, well, this yeah, that's pretty easy. I know that it's all gonna. All of our stories are kind of coming from the last tour, mm-hmm. Which is kind of the freshest in our mind.
Sure.
But it's really hard to top this one. But the last country that we were on tour in Europe last week was in Sweden. And the last show was outside of Stockholm, and we were going to fly from Stockholm back to London, and London was our big flight to Chicago. But we were flying from Stockholm to London at, like, say, a Sunday night, and flying from London to Chicago Monday morning. So everything had to work out correctly mm-hmm. for us to be in Chicago.
It's usually the busiest time in the airport, too.
And it is.
It's insane on Sunday night.
And, of course, the Stockholm to London flight gets delayed to about 1 in the morning. And so I told Meredith that if this flight gets canceled, there is no other flight to London tonight, and we may miss our London flight back to Chicago and my own music. And so we just sat around in a pending order until about 1 a.m. when the flight got canceled.
How did you get back?
We got back on that flight. So we never canceled any other flights other than that one. Meredith instantly jumped online from the gate while everybody was screaming at the gate agent. She jumped on the laptop, and she found a 6 a.m. flight out of Stockholm Monday morning, landing an hour before our flight back home in London.
Wow.
But the trick was that we had to leave the airport and customs and passport control and all the things and get our bags checked, turn around and check back into the flight back to America.
Wow, that's crazy.
In 1 hour.
That qualifies for crazy.
So that was the craziest
that
one
was
I got.
Crazy, yeah, yeah, that's wow.
I think it's worth noting that when you ask us about our craziest day, I think people expect wild stories of musicians. I promise you, most of our craziest days are just pure travel logistics. Most of our job is getting from point A to point B with a ton of obstacles in between.
Oh, good heavens. Sounds like it. Sounds
but
like
once
it.
You get there, playing the show is the best part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you get on stage, the day is good.
I will say, like, because, and you hear this as a musician a couple times from several different people, is, you know, make sure to have a great show. And really, in the back of a lot of musicians' minds is, that's the easiest part of the day.
Getting
to the city, making sure you know who to contact, where the power is, where the person to contact, it, like, all the other stuff is the hard part. Playing the music is the easy part, and we don't even think about that half the time. Because
well,
that's just like autopilot. To
sure. It's getting there, getting to where you need to be on time. I hear you. It's just like this and Mile of Music, all the performances. Managing logistics got to be a full-time job.
Finding parking.
Yeah, finding parking, yeah.
Always about finding parking.
You know, share with us how your fans, how the empathy in your songs communicates, you know, your message on a deeper level, you know, something.
I'll take this one, too. I will say the last record that we wrote was More Than a Little. It was released in 2016. And we've grown a lot since then. And one of the things that we pushed ourselves for as we wrote this next record that has been recorded but we're still in mixing and mastering is that we wanted to challenge ourselves to have a deeper message. We love that our music is fun. We love that it's upbeat. We want people to dance and have a good time. But there can be more that gets accomplished within that as well. I used to work on staff for a really incredible songwriter out of Texas. His name is Ray Wiley Hubbard. And he is a very liberal songwriter in a very red state. And one time at dinner, I asked him, I said, Ray, how do you think your fans, you know, react to your songs like that? And he was like, you know, Meredith, if you write a good song, that's all it needs to be. Half the time, they don't even know what you're talking about.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting, and it really challenged Adrian and I to think, this is an opportunity to create a conversation.
Sure.
It's not, what we don't need is another opportunity to divide people.
Very good.
Yeah. So when you bring people together and you have people all enjoying the same thing, if you make the messaging easy enough in that way, what you can really do is get people in a room that can connect over the same thing, and you might not be able to change their minds. We never expect to change people's mm-hmm. minds. But through music, you might be able to change someone's heart
mm-hmm.
and create empathy within it, share a story. You know, we are so lucky that we get to travel and meet people, mm-hmm. and we feel like it's our obligation to bring those stories back and to share them.
Cool.
So that's kind of what we've really pushed ourselves for in this next batch of writing and songs.
That's an awesome ambition. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, sharing divisive topics in a way that's palatable and easy to assimilate
mm-hmm.
and doesn't create confrontation.
And it's so important
cool.
right now. I mean,
it's
really easy to get on stage and to just shove your political opinions down people's mm-hmm. throats. But that, what is that going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, share with us your vision regarding your songs and songwriting process. You know, when you guys have an idea for a song, what does that look like? Where do you start and how do you devolve it?
I do think that that question is geared towards musicians that are in a changing place in their songwriting. And right now, Meredith and I are not really in a place of changing in our songwriting. Right now, we feel very strongly about what we are writing musically as well as through the messaging that Meredith just mentioned. We feel like maybe the next couple of records are going to start sounding similar, not in a bad way, but in a good way, because we feel like we kind of have found our voice, both musically and messaging. There's also times later, maybe in three records, that we'll be kind of seeking more inspiration in that regard. Right now, we're kind of in a systematic flow of cranking out songs and messages. So to answer your question, right now, it's actually quite easy for us. Right now, when we sit down at the guitar and fiddle, we know what our songs want to sound like before they've been written. We know what style of song we're writing. We're writing Eastern European-inspired folk music, mm-hmm. and we're writing it with an aggressive tone, and we're making it upbeat and dance-heavy and fun. And so that's kind of the sounding board before a single note gets written. And so things get a lot easier from there, because you can say, okay, well, just based on that, there's certain styles of music and chords that fall under that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain chord progressions that fall under those chords. There are certain styles of music, and you're not going to write a waltz, for instance. You're going to write a four-on-the-floor backbeat type
mm-hmm.
of song.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the creative process is about limiting what you're not going to do.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Staying within your passion, your creative... Where you're strongest, where you feel the best, the most comfortable.
It's kind of the easiest part
passion.
Of being a creator is having boundaries. I know that this is kind of a crazy reference, but it really has stuck with me over the years. Michelangelo once wrote that all he does is chip away the rock to find the person within.
Right, exactly.
And
just
that's
remove what's not the horse.
What's not the horse.
I've seen that.
And that's exactly what songwriting is for us. We just chip away. We don't need that anymore. Okay, we don't need that anymore. Okay, this didn't work. We know a lot about what doesn't work. We've spent a lot of time working on what doesn't work. You know, and then at the very, very, very end, at the 20th revision, then we finally might know what does work. But it's really until revision number 20 that we do start seeing the form of the song. It's really it's an opposite way of thinking about it.
Sure.
But from there, you have kind of the bare bones of the song. You're like, okay, I think we're here to start adding something to it. Okay, we finally have a bass. I'm not much of a cook, but I think, you know, we have the meat. We can start working on the potatoes kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, there's songs, there's, you know, musical phrasing that gets considered, and how musical phrasing attaches to a message, because... how you speak when you're angry versus how you speak when you're being soft is totally different, and how you use words and how fast you speak and how slow you speak. So the tone of the song, there's always a big moment in every song. What is the song about?
Mm-hmm.
And until I can answer that, and Meredith can answer that, unless we know what the song is about, the song doesn't really move forward. It stays at the meat and never really gets added any potatoes, and it doesn't turn into a song yet. It's kind of half-built, and sometimes that waits sometimes that waits a year, and sometimes that waits a week, and sometimes that waits an hour. But most of the time it waits a few months. and then we finally kind of, it sunk in enough, this song is about such and such. It fits maybe something that happened to us, somebody that we met. Usually we've got 10 or so in the tank, and so that applies, you know. So if any given situation, writing about people we meet, we find an experience, we go to Sweden. Okay, that applies to one of the 10 songs that we have the meat for, but no potatoes.
God, God. Oh, that's fascinating. I love the subtlety of tenor, timbre, all those nuances about language and words that you bring into a song. And that's something that really adds that level of communication. I'm struck by that. I have to say I'm struck by that.
You wouldn't do that when you're communicating and talking, right? It wouldn't go well if you tried to talk to somebody and you're yelling at them for no reason.
Well, you're not getting anywhere very fast.
You're not getting anywhere. And it's the same thing that applies to the song.
Makes sense.
The best way to communicate what you're doing is to think about all those things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Please share with us the two most important aspects of musical success that you've shared.
Show up on time, don't be an ass.
I love it. Show up on time, don't be an ass.
Which really, it can all just boil down to just be a nice person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, in all seriousness, I think it does take a lot of hard work. And I think that one thing that we're realizing as we continue going at this pace in this career of going hard is having a sense of vulnerability, having a sense of openness too. We need help, you know. All these artists need to talk to each other. We need to support each other, and we need to be real about what this life is and what it isn't, because it's not being a rock star all the time. It takes a lot of self-care, a lot of maintenance. It takes your friend looking at you and saying, you need to take a break. You know, you've been on tour for 3 months. You're going to burn out. So I think that there's a huge level of taking care of each other, taking time even when it doesn't feel comfortable, whether that's taking the time that a record needs to create, you know, for the writing process, whether it's saying, you know what, I really need to go and play for a month and just play every single night and put the work in, put the hours in, whatever it is, it's kind of having that work ethic on both sides of it. Just keep going.
Yeah, that's the payoff. Yeah, yeah. Actually, music's the payoff to all of it. It's not necessarily, it's also the driving force behind it. But when it comes time to the rubber meets the road, it's the payoff for each day.
Very cool. Very cool. Anything else you guys like to add to we've talked about so far? Fascinating talk, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You good?
I think so.
Okay, great. Well, you know, thanks so much for stopping by. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with us and to share your experiences with your fans. Really huge.
Thank
so,
you so much
thanks.
For creating this opportunity for all these artists to come and chat too. It's a
pleasure.
It's really a pleasure to share our story as well. So we
very cool. Very cool. Okay, be sure to add the Mile of Music to your must-attend summer festivals. There's no other venue where you can experience more music that is absolutely free. 60-plus locations, over 200 artists, and over 900 shows. Stellar Blue Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music, wants to thank Adrian plus Meredith for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come in. We really appreciate it, and have a great
Mile.
Thank you.